This morning we're looking at the parable of the Good Samaritan, a very familiar parable, a very familiar story, a story that is very inspirational to me. You see, I've been on a journey this summer, kind of a call to action. Really, this summer has been such a fantastic summer for me because I have really been investigating God's Word and really trying to apply it to my life, really. Not just talking about it, but really applying God's Word to my life. So it's become a call of action. And I want to encourage us and challenge us this morning to this call of action. So, what does love really look like? Do you see love every day at your home or at your job or in the city? Do you see love? I've seen a few examples over the last few years. We went to Chicago with the youth group, and I saw thousands of people wrapped around a city block waiting to get into a sneaker store because the new Air Jordan tennis shoes were being released at 12:01, 1 minute after midnight. And so they waited in line for 15 hours to get into that store to buy those new sneakers. That showed me their love for stuff. Their love for shoes. I remember walking around the building and seeing tents and seeing food and seeing Monopoly games and all this stuff because they had 15 hours to wait to get into that store to get those sneakers. A few years ago, this kind of dates me, I was in downtown Atlanta in a hotel and my conference was over and I was bored and I was just kind of hanging out and I looked outside the window and I saw hundreds of teenagers just kind of hanging out in the city. That's what I do. I hang out with teenagers, and you can see why after these two beautiful teenagers shared wonderful stories. People do ask me, they're like, you're 40, why do you still work with teens? There you go. I mean, why not? Why couldn't? I mean, why wouldn't I? Anyways, I saw all these kids hanging out in Atlanta, so I went down and started hanging out, and they all were dressed the same way. They all were in dark makeup, dark clothes, dark hair, chains and spikes and just this real, just crazy outfits. And they were there for a Marilyn Manson concert. I know he's not popular anymore, thank goodness, but they were there for the concert dressed like their hero. So I asked them, I said, you really like Marilyn Manson? They're like, no, we just like his music. It's like, no, I think you really like him. Well, why do you say that? Well, because you're dressed like him. They loved him so much, they began to dress like their hero. That showed me love. And then this year in Ecuador, as Kelsey shared, we were a part of relationships that changed us. One particular girl named Mireya, let me tell you about her walk that she takes to school every day. Imagine the cliffs of Shell Beach. She would walk down a cliff a little higher and a little steeper than that. And then take a look at Highway 101 times three. And she would walk across that L.A. kind of traffic, just tons of traffic, three Highway 101s. And then across the highway, she would scale another Shell Beach kind of cliff to get to her school and get to her church. I talked to one of the associate pastors and through an interpreter. He told me, you know what? She's not supposed to be here tomorrow. We don't have like a program, but she has found love in you guys so much that she's going to come tomorrow. She's going to make that walk tomorrow again just to see you and just to be around you. And so that day after we were finished, myself and Kelsey and Nicole, we walked her home and we took that walk with her, the Mireya walk. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how dangerous it was. I was just struck by the danger that was a part of that walk. But that little girl loved us so much, and she loved what we represented. What she saw through our students was God's love. And it changed me. It changed me that the sacrifice that little 10-year-old girl did every day. So I saw love this summer, and I've seen love operating all my life. And so this morning, I want to call us to action. I want to call us to display real love. And we see it in God's Word. We've looked at some contemporary examples of love. Now let's look at what God's Word says about love. So take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37. We're reading from the NIV, and there's Bibles in the seat backs in front of you or underneath you or somewhere in your seating area. Take and turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37. It says this: on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite. When he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Let's take a look at this scripture a little bit more deep. The lawyer, the expert in religious law, wanted to know what it took to get into eternal life. Wanted to know how to really live life. And asked Jesus the question. And Jesus asked him, "Well, what do you think about it?" And he knew the law. He knew the word. And so he went straight to that answer. "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." The greatest commandment. The greatest commandment. Simply put, loving the Lord your God with all of your life. So this morning, I want to challenge you at home, at work, on the streets, with your friends, with your neighbors, with everyone, to glorify God in everything that you do. Loving God with everything. Now, he wanted to justify himself. He wanted a little bit more. So who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied with this wonderful story. That trip from Jerusalem to Jericho was lined on cliffs and caves and a very dangerous place to travel. And so the audience knew this very well, knew how dangerous this trip was. And we jump to when the priest came along. And I love when it says, by chance, the priest came along. Priests wouldn't be out there. They wouldn't be out in that territory. They wouldn't have gone along that road. And so I'm sure the Jewish man that was beaten, when he saw that priest, there was hope. By chance, a priest? That priest is going to help me. And what does the priest do? He crosses to the other side of the road. He doesn't want anything to do with a beaten man. It's too inconvenient. He's too busy. That's too dirty. That's too much. It'll cost him too much. So he physically goes to the other side of the road. Then the next person comes, a Levite or a temple assistant. He decides to get a little bit closer, walks over, looks at him lying there, but realizes, whoa, this is too much for me. Too costly. There's too much to do. I'm not really equipped to take care of this person. And then he goes to the other side of the road. Two people that the Jewish man had connection with. Two people that he probably even knew. Two people that were like him. And then thirdly, the Samaritan comes. Enemy. Jews and Samaritans were fierce enemies. Fierce enemies. I was trying to think of a contemporary version of that today. Who is our enemy and who would that be to try to get it in your mind? But I really couldn't figure it out. But just to tell you that these people, Samaritans and Jews, fierce enemies. And so I'm thinking the Jewish man was like, not going to help me. As the Samaritan walked by, God's word says he felt compassion. To receive a call to action, we need to feel compassion for others. Have you ever been moved towards compassion? The storm that's raging, that's going to attack the Gulf Coast, that's moving me to compassion. I read some statistics on poverty, which is moving me to compassion. Me this summer looking to find really love has kind of moved me into this awareness of compassion. And the Samaritan was moved with compassion. And so he did this. He soothed the Jewish man with oil and wine, number one. Number two, he bandaged him. Number three, he put him on his own donkey. Number four, he took him to an inn where he then took care of him. Number five. And then the scripture says the next day. So he spent the night to take care of this man. Number six, the next day he handed the innkeeper two silver coins, which were denarii. One denarii is equal to one day's pay. So he gave the innkeeper 2 days' pay, which would have allowed him to stay for about 3 months in the inn. He told the innkeeper, take care of this man. If the bill runs higher than this, I'll pay for the next time. The eighth thing he did. I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Then Jesus asked, which one of these was a true neighbor? Obviously, the man replied, the religious scholar replied, the one who showed him mercy. And then Jesus says, yes, now go and do the same. Go and do the same. So we learned three things from this parable. Three simple things in this parable. This morning, if you're sitting there pretty bored with life, pretty dissatisfied with life, just really not having much going on, I want to encourage you and challenge you to go and do the same. Do this and you will live, the scripture says. Do this and you will live. Really live. You will embrace the more that Jesus has for you. If you go and do the same, show kindness and mercy. First thing we learn about this scripture that teaches us is love is easy to pass by. Love is easy to avoid. Why? Because we're too busy. We have no time. Men and women, ruthlessly eliminate busyness from your life. Big words there. Let me say it again. Ruthlessly eliminate busyness from your life. Because I believe busyness is the tool of the enemy. If the enemy can get us so busy worrying about our own achievements and our own stuff, then we won't become aware of what he's up to and what he's doing. We won't be aware of our neighbors. Why is love easy to pass and avoid? Because it's too costly. We're spending our money on all other kinds of things. Me included. I spend too much money at Starbucks. My wife tells me. We look at our checkbook register. $30, $35 a month that I spend at Starbucks. Sometimes love is too costly because we're spending our money on stuff that doesn't matter. James 4, verse 6 in the message says this. What he, meaning Jesus, what he gives in love is far better than anything else you will find. What Jesus offers in love is far better than anything else you'll find. Another reason why love is easy to pass or avoid is it's inconvenient. It'll mess up our life. It'll mess up our routine if we get involved. Similar to the priest and the Levite, the temple assistant. Maybe we don't feel equipped. We don't want to get involved because we don't know how. We don't know what to do. Greater is He. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Philippians 4:13. You are equipped. You are equipped to love. Or maybe you're too stressed or overwhelmed or focused on getting ahead or focused on achievement. I was in that trap. I was in that trap a few years ago. I was so focused on achievement. I was so focused on my bank account. I was so focused on what was in my driveway. I was so focused on my own career and what people, how people saw me. I was so focused on that. And I entered into this kind of darkness because I was so self-centered. And then I went to my daughter's soccer game. She was 4. Ever been to a 4-year-old soccer game? It's not really soccer. It's like just a herd of kids. And they just create dirt and they just move around like, you know, this big thing. And I understand there's some states that they don't allow parents to cheer anymore because they're so crazy. And I was one of those. And still am. And so I was watching this game and I was so focused on getting ahead and achievement and I was so focused on my stuff and I wanted my reputation and I was just so focused and I was just miserable. And one great thing about kids' soccer, sometimes the ball comes out of that herd, pops out. And then a kid will pop out, chase the ball, and usually score a goal because they don't have goalies. All right, and so I'm watching, you know, kind of in my thing. The ball pops out, and then this little redhead jumps out, who actually you saw a few minutes ago. This little redhead jumps out, and I lost my mind. I'm running down the sidelines with her. Score! Score! Go, Hannah, go! And I've lost my mind. She's going to score a goal because that's what matters, right? Achievement. She's going to score a goal. I'm losing my mind running with her. And, you know, I was just so proud, so happy, running. All of a sudden, she stops, and I'm like, what are you doing? You're not going to score a goal. She goes, Dad, look. It was a hot air balloon. Isn't that awesome? I'm like, yeah, go score a goal. Wait a second, that is awesome. What do you think the other kids did? The opponents. Mom, Dad, look! It's a hot air balloon. It was so beautiful. And I felt this tap on my shoulder. The living God. Doug, get your mind, get your eyes off things of this world and back on me. The beautiful, all-powerful, living God. That hot air balloon represented that God's Holy Spirit moving in every day. If I'm aware, and I wasn't aware because I was all focused on my stuff. People, our call to action is to be aware of opportunities to love our neighbor and each other. You would think that would have done something to me, right? 5 years later, I'm in the same situation. I'm focused on other things. And this time I go to a T-ball game. Ever been to a T-ball game? And the field was kind of placed up on a hill. So if you could get it past the infield, the ball would roll down a hill. You know, I was already thinking of the strategy, okay? Now, my other daughter, Abby, she wasn't the best player, but she was the prettiest player. And she couldn't figure it out. You know, she couldn't really get it going. But one day she swung. I knocked this off last night. Huge swing. Yes, I'm a dork. And she did this huge swing and the ball just kind of trickled off. So the catcher comes out and kicks it to try to get it, but kicks it. Kicks it through the infield and down the hill. And so we're going, go, Abby, go! And she gets to first base. And She gets to first base, and she's just like... And we're like, no, you got to keep running, you know? She gets to second base. We're like, no, keep running. All of a sudden, a dog gets loose on the field. And the dog runs fire. What do you think Abby does? Does she think she goes to third? No. She goes to chase the dog. What do the opponents do? Drop their gloves. Let's go get the dog. You know, so everybody's running to get the dog, and I'm like, I got it, God. I got it. Be aware of what you're doing. Get your mind off achievement and what's in your driveway and your garage. Get your mind on the opportunities to love. Number two, our neighbor is everyone, everywhere. Our neighbor is everyone. Our neighbor is everywhere. The second thing we learn from the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 9, verse 48, from the Living Bible says this. Jesus said to them, "Anyone who takes care of a little child like this is caring for me, and whoever cares for me is caring for God who sent me." Your care for others is the measure of your greatness. I love that, and that's what I was trying to teach the boys and girls. Your care for others is the measure of your greatness. So you want to achieve greatness? You want to achieve significance? It's measured by how much you care for others. So ask that self your question. How are you caring for others? That's the measure of your greatness. That's the measure at how you're living life. You won't be living life to the fullest if you're not caring for others. That's such a simple, heart-pounding verse. Your care for others is the measure of your greatness. And so we're so self-centered, we're so self-focused. Our greatness, our witness, our impact is empty. But how we care for others is the measure of our greatness. We have this thing that we do in the Midwest that's really weird, embarrassing. The change of seasons come, it changes our closets. Now, I've lived in California, outside of Kansas, the longest ever. I mean, I lived in Kansas, and this is the longest other state I've lived. So I was born in Kansas, but I moved here as fast as I could. Okay? I say that. That was supposed to be funnier, but that's okay. I'm losing you. I get it. I'm losing you. It's getting late. We do this thing. We take our summer, when it becomes winter, we take our summer clothes to the basement, and we bring up our winter clothes. All right? We change wardrobes. That's embarrassing. We have that many clothes. Really. And then when it starts to get colder, we take the summer clothes and we put them in the closet in the basement and we bring up the winter clothes. We have two separate. It's embarrassing. We have that many clothes. And I was feeling convicted one day in my basement. I was like, gosh, I have too many clothes. This is embarrassing. I was looking at all the stuff I have and I had a tent. I don't camp. All right? Never have camped. I can't put up a tent. I've slept in a tent once. I'm 40. I don't camp. I had a tent. I had so much stuff. I didn't even know what I had. Blankets and sweatshirts and coats and boots and hats and big jackets. I was like, I gotta get rid of this stuff. I gotta give it to somebody that needs it. And I started just trash bag after trash bag after trash bag. And I headed to the downtown mission to donate the clothes. And I heard something rattle in my truck and I got out to check it. And as I was checking it, I heard this in the background. "Hey, you! By the truck." I'm like, "Yeah, what? Do you have a tent?" I'm like, are you kidding me? Do you know me? Do I have a, what? And he was just this homeless man. I could smell him before he got to me. I mean, he was just very dirty on this bike and he had nothing. "Yeah, do you have a tent? My tent's been destroyed." I was like, "Actually, I do have a tent, and it's here in my truck. Would you like a jacket? What else would you like?" So he comes to my truck, and I had so much stuff that he couldn't carry it. And I said, "Hey, man, let's put your bike in my truck, and I'll take all this stuff to where you need it." So we got in my truck. We drove to his home, his site, and his tent was destroyed, and I helped him set up the tent. And I'm sure he was like, "This guy is really you know, not very good with the tent thing. And we set it up and we began to talk. And he goes, "Who are you?" And I told him that I was a pastor. And he's like, "No, really. Who are you?" I was like, "No, I'm a pastor." He goes, "No, really. What do you do?" And he was amazed that he really saw the church take action. Because so many times he said, all that the church would do is just tell me stuff. Yeah, I understand I need to get saved. And yeah, I understand all that. But they would never look at my real need. They never took time to build a relationship with me to see that I needed bread, that I needed a coat. Yeah, he said. This Bible, yeah, I get it. It's great. But I need something tangible. You're the first person. And I lost faith in the church until you came to my campsite. Now, I'm not bragging about anything I've done, but would you do the same thing? I'm sure you would. Because my eyes were off worldly things. My eyes were on Christ, and I became aware of a situation. Didn't cross on the other side, but entered into a relationship with somebody else and had the means to meet a need. And before I left, he said, "Hey, can I give you something?" He gave me 3 candy canes for my 3 daughters. Never experienced such love from someone who had nothing and gave me something he had. Our neighbor is everyone. Our neighbor is everywhere. I'm reading a book by Leonard Sweet. It's called The 11 Indispensable Relationships. And he says this, "Tell me what you get angry at, and I will tell you who you are. Tell me what you get angry at, and I will tell you who you are." Now, I took too long with this last night, so I'm going to rip through this as quickly as I can. But I got on povertyfactsandstats.com, I think it is, or something like that. I just Googled it and came up with some alarming statistics that make me angry, that move me to compassion. 800 million people won't eat today. Every 2 seconds, someone dies of hunger. 8% of the world owns a car. The other 92% don't. I own 2. 1 billion people have no access to clean water. 1 billion people live on less than $1 a day. 400 million people have no access to clean and safe water. And so out of that, 1.4 million children die each year because they have lack access to the clean water. We spend 20 billion dollars a year on ice cream. More on pet food. $12 billion on perfume. $8 billion on cosmetics. Basic health and nutrition for all would cost us $13 billion. We spend more on ice cream. We spend more on pet food. This calls me to action. Our neighbor is everyone. Our neighbor is everywhere. Lastly, what we learn from the Good Samaritan is that love is action. Love is action. Love is doing. One of the slides you saw, we got to see, we got to be a part of a wedding in Ecuador, an Ecuadorian wedding, very private ceremony, very private activity that they called us gringos, normally don't go to, but we got to be a part of it. It was beautiful. It was phenomenal. Afterwards, there was a wedding banquet, and man, did we eat. Oh, we had such good food and cake, and we danced and laughed, and it was so fun. We had such a celebratory time with the bride and the groom, and that food was so good until I saw the kitchen. It was so good, and we were just eating. We had so much food, and my mind and my eye went outside of the gated church, and I saw a family, a mom and her four kids. And about that time, my eye caught one of our teenagers, Logan, and we both had the same idea. They were looking in at us singing and dancing and stuffing our faces. They were looking in at the celebration that was going on. They weren't sponsored by Compassion International. Compassion International sponsors children $40 a day, and it gives them food and a school uniform and clean water. And we saw that in action. This family wasn't sponsored, and Logan and I had the same idea. We have to get food to them. So we went back in the kitchen, and the cooks were so happy that we wanted seconds. And we didn't really say it wasn't for us. We just said, you know, can we have some more food? And we took two plates out to that family. And they ate. They'd never eaten before. It was so quick, they just took it and it was gone. And the pastor told me later, that's probably the only meal they'll have that week. And four people shared one piece of chicken, a few potatoes, and some lettuce. Would you have done the same thing? Of course. Love in action. The pastor saw what was going on, and he invited them into the wedding banquet. And they began to dance and celebrate and eat cake and run and play. And the pastor talked to the mother and set forward them becoming sponsored by Compassion. And our youth group's going to help that take place. We're going to raise $480. That's it. $480 so that family can have basic necessities. And we're going to do that by buying t-shirts. Love in action. Real life. That family got to participate in real life. Your greatness is measured by how much you care for others. Acts 1:8 says this: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." As Jesus ascended, he gave this challenge to his disciples. Now, what is our Jerusalem? This city, right? This city. How are we witnesses? How are we telling everyone about Christ in this city? Can you keep that scripture up? In this city. We have the People's Kitchen we can be involved with. We have the Giving Project here at New Life. It's a four-time event that takes place. It's a party for the homeless community. We have some in our church that are cooking out at the Oceano Duck Pond for the needy, hot dogs and hamburgers. Pastor Ron has a phenomenal dream for our city and our neighborhood to love one another. What are the other needs? What are the other needs in our city that you are aware of, that you can do something about, that you can show love? You don't have to wait for the church to hold your hand and lead you to it. Grab the hand of the living God and He'll lead you to it. What are the needs in your neighborhood, in your home, at your job? What are the needs at the beach? What are the needs on your block? Our Jerusalem is this city. Judea and Samaria were regions. Regions. Our youth ministry has adopted two regions, West Oakland and Los Angeles. And we're in relationship in Oakland with needy men, women, and children and picking up trash and working with the homeless community in Oakland. And this year, we're going to begin a new relationship with the Central City Church in L.A. on Skid Row, our region. Where else can you be involved? Or are you so wrapped up in your own achievement, what's in your driveway, how much is in your bank account, that you're not seeing that hot air balloon? You're not seeing the living God move in your life with the opportunity to love your neighbor. And lastly, the ends of the earth. I have a precious lady here in our congregation, Lisa Wetzler. She makes aprons and she sells them. And whatever she gets for them, she gives to an orphanage in Haiti. Awesome. I love that. I'm going to buy one, an apron. I'm not sure when I'll wear it, but I'm going to buy one. What a phenomenal idea. The ends of the earth. She's doing something, selling aprons. Ecuador. I told you about our idea for Ecuador. We're going to take more trips there. There's an organization in our community called Seeds of Hope. Get on the internet and check it out. Seeds of Hope. They build wells in Africa for clean water, to provide clean water for villages all over Africa. Pastor Ron has a heartbeat for India, and we're involved with India. You can adopt a child through Compassion International, or as Pastor Rick Warren at Saddleback encouraged our presidential candidates, to actually adopt a child. Actually adopt a child from a foreign country. What can we do? What are the needs? Where else ends of the earth can we be involved with? Love in action. Kevin's going to come and we're going to sing God in This City before we leave today. And I want you, as we sing the song, to really wrap your mind around a couple lyrics in that song. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done. In this city, greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done. There is no one like our God. Amen. There is no one like our God. Yes. So this morning, our call to action is to really display love to our neighbor, who is everywhere and everyone. I gave you some ideas, some simple ideas in your folder of walking points, smiling at everyone, mowing a neighbor's lawn, organizing a free car wash, sending an encouraging note to a friend at a drive-thru restaurant, paying for the car behind you. If that's me, that would be awesome. I'm giving you some ideas. These are just ideas. Now, on the other side, there's some questions that you and your friends or family can wrestle with. But our call to action is to love. Period. Look for opportunities and be aware of the living God when He moves in your life. Let's sing this song.